Hi, you're listening to a podcast from Frontline Youth Group. We're so glad you're here. This podcast was recorded at our 2024 summer camp. We were blessed to have Pastor Tim Biasetto join us from Horizon Church in Sydney.
Come on.
Enjoy.
Oh, man, I'm having a lot of fun. You guys are an epic, epic crew. Who's loving camp? Man, hasn't it been awesome? And I'm absolutely loving hanging out with you. It's been amazing, you know, spending so much time with you guys, chatting with so many of you guys over meals and just seeing God do what he does. And yeah, it's been a real honor. And I just want to thank you. This is actually my last session with you guys. And tomorrow morning, I actually have to leave it quite early. And so, you know, I just want to say and take this opportunity to say thank you so much for having me. It's been a full joy. And I love seeing what God's doing. And I tell you what, you guys are on fire. And I honestly believe that you haven't seen anything yet, that the best days are ahead, that God's got huge plans. And, man, you guys are going to need a bigger room very soon for camp because God's got plans. Does that sound good? Nice one. And also want to really honor your youth pastors. And I think Holly's not here, or she's back. Oh my gosh. Hey, there you are. Matt and Holly, you guys are just absolute champions. You know, like so many people have had moments with God, and you've obviously got an incredible team, and you know, they've been doing an amazing job over the weekend. But it takes, you know, a couple of people who really put their hand up and say, God, whatever you need, I'll do it. And you guys have worked hard. So hard, harder than any of you will know. You know, you guys are thinking about what's happening right now. These guys have got 100 other things rolling through their head. I remember my first camp as a youth pastor, and when I got there, one of the windows was broken, and I'm like, someone take a photo of that because, like, you know, we don't want to have to pay for it. At the end, the guy's like, you know, oh, you broke a window. And I'm like, nah, I took a photo of it. Yes, what a youth pastor, right? And I showed him, and he says, there's no timestamp. You still have to pay for it. I'm like, come on. And literally, when we were leaving, I saw this sheep, death staring itself in the window. And as it looked at itself in the window, I see it do these ones. Right? And I'm like, what's going on? And then it starts, bang, headbutting itself in the window. So I called the guy over and I said, I didn't break your window. Sheep broke your window. This is the kind of stuff youth pastors have to deal with. So give it up for your youth pastors. These guys going to hospital today, leading, doing everything. We love you. You guys are honestly amazing. And we're so grateful for you guys and excited for all that's ahead. And, you know, tonight as I, you know, thought about, you know, what it is that we might share, and as I went on a journey with God, just praying and seeking God, you know, I really felt that what God wanted to do tonight was to do something that would stick with you long after camp. You know, it's something that's not just about the moment, but it's something about setting you up for the next season, and not just the next season, but for your life ahead. And, you know, I was thinking about tonight, and I really felt like what I want to share is probably the thing that has been one of the greatest gifts in my life after my salvation, since all those years I came to know Jesus. What we're talking about tonight is the thing that has really had the biggest impact on my day-to-day life. And, you know, my prayer tonight is that God would do something deep in your heart that, you know, next week, next month, next year even, continues. And I don't want to just hype you up. We don't want to just hype you up for a night. We want to set you up for a life with God. And so I want to encourage you, you know, to really have faith tonight and actually just expect God to do something in your life. Because I honestly believe that every single person who cries out to God is going to get what it is that God has for you. And, you know, we think about what we're going to do for God. You know, we talked this morning about the call of God and the things that he's asked us to do and the faith we need to do them. But at the end of the day, we always have to remember it's not just about doing things for God, but the real miracle of our faith is that we get to do things with God, that he is right there with us and in us everywhere that we go. And there's a huge difference between doing things for God and doing things with God. And I got to tell you that doing things with God is the way that he has intended you to live your life. You're not meant to go out there and try and make it happen to impress God. You actually walk with him day by day, be led by him into the purposes of God, and I honestly believe you'll see God's purposes come to pass in your life. And so what we're going to do is we're going to read a scripture, and again, like I've shared a few times, so many of my messages and my experiences and my understanding of God have come from quiet times when I've read a scripture and I'm like, what does that mean? You know, what's the how does that make sense? And you ask a few questions and you start to find a little bit more to the story than maybe you first understood. So if you do have your Bibles, I'll get you to turn to John chapter 16. And I want to just give you a little bit of context for the word tonight, and basically this scripture. Maybe before we chuck it on the screens, I'll just explain a little bit and then we'll go to it, right? But this is what's going on. By this time, the disciples have been walking with Jesus literally for like years. And walking with Jesus was like unbelievable. You got to realize Jesus is God, right? You know, he's not just a great leader. He's not just a cool rabbi. He is God made flesh. He is God with us, right? And so Jesus is walking around doing things only God can do. He's healing people. He's setting people free. He's commanding creation, and creation is listening to him. Walking and hanging with Jesus is a vibe. Like, I'm telling you, can you imagine being one of those people that used to walk with him everywhere, travel with him everywhere, the miracles you would have seen, the experiences you would have had? Can you just think for a second how epic it would be to be one of those people that are walking with Jesus? Like, I'm talking, one minute you're just talking to a big crowd of people and everyone's getting hungry. Next minute Jesus is like, hey, what do we have with us? And some kid's got a little bit of lunch and he's like, hey, would you guys take this and start feeding people? And as you're feeding people and you go back into the basket, more bread comes out, more fish comes out, and you are just literally a part of a miracle. You know, the disciples would walk with Jesus into a city, and the whole city, sometimes the Bible would say, would be in uproar. They would come out to see Jesus. There were times when people were throwing branches on the ground and Jesus was walking in over them. There were times when people were coming out of the woodwork to be healed. You know, it was honestly, when Jesus was around, you wouldn't know what was coming up, but you'd always be excited. Can you imagine what it would have been like to be one of those people who walked with Jesus? What's going to happen today? You know, we need some money. Let's go fishing. We're going to pull a fish out. There'll be coins in his mouth. My gosh. You know, maybe Jesus is going to come and walk across the water again. The miracles, the life that you're living, it would have been absolutely mind-blowing. And then after years of walking with Jesus, day in, day out, wondering what's next, wondering what he's going to do, wondering about the miracles that are going to come, he says this to his disciples. And I'm just going to read the first part of the verse there. And it says this in John 16, verse 7. Jesus talking to his disciples, he says, "But very truly I tell you, it is for your good that I am going away." Now, I don't know about you, but at that point, when I hear Jesus talk about it's good for me, for him to go away, I'd be asking the question, how can it be good for you to go away? Wherever you are, there's miracles. Wherever you are, there's breakthrough. Wherever you are, people's lives are being transformed. What on earth could be better than having God with us? And if you're taking notes, I have a very strange title for my message tonight, and it is this. What on earth is better than Jesus preaching at camp? Can you imagine if Jesus walked in here tonight and he's like, hey, I'm going to preach. Who knows? I'm the first one to sit down, get my notepad out. Man, I'm hanging on every single word. But according to this scripture, he says it's actually for your good that I go away. What on earth could be better than having Jesus with us today right here? And that's what we're going to discuss and we're going to explore a little bit. So let's pray. Jesus, we just thank you so much that these are your words and you wanted us to realize something about the life you've called us to live. And I pray tonight, God, that you'd open up our eyes to the reality of your presence, to the reality of your spirit, God, that we would in our hearts come to believe and expect, God, that you will be present to lead us, guide us, walk with us every single step of the day. And so today, Jesus, we take all the walls down and we open up our hearts and we welcome you to do what only you can do through your spirit in our heart. In Jesus' name. Amen. Has anyone played golf before? Anyone had a crack at golf? Yeah. Nice, golfers. Anyone like an actual golfer, like you love it, that's your sport? Very nice. Well done. So good cup over here as well. Impressive. Now, as you may have picked, I'm a bit of a phase guy. I've gone through a whole stack of different sports, different experiences. One of those was golf, and as you expect when you're new to golf, you're not very good at it. It's not kind of natural. You know, playing golf is one of those things where you got to do all things that don't make sense to have a good swing, right? And so I had a crack. I was playing a little bit of golf down at the driving range. And for my birthday, a few of my friends chipped in, bought me some golf lessons. And so there was this local course and I went for this golf lesson and there was a golf pro there running the lesson. His name was Gary Booby. I'm not making it up. It's an okay name for a golf, you know, pro, but a bad name for like a primary school teacher. You would get raked across the coals for that. But this guy, Gary, he is like a pro. And he's like, what I'm going to do is I'm going to teach you about your swing, right? And so what he does is he lines me up and he says, I'm going to take a video of your swing. And then what he's going to do is I'm gonna put it next to a pro. And we're going to compare the difference. And so as you'd imagine, I get up there and he goes, just give it a hit. Just as you do. And so I'm just like, all right, here we go, right? And give this thing a swing. And then he's like, And I'm like, all right, clearly didn't impress the pro. Anyway, he's like, come back. We'll put it on the screen. He says, this is you. This is Tiger Woods, right? And he's like, let's go slow-mo. Can you see the difference? And I'm like, yeah. Are we even playing the same game? I look like I'm playing baseball or something, man. And this guy's like, yeah, there's a lot we're going to work on. I'm like, thanks, bro. That's great. And I kid you not, this guy, little by little, started to adjust the way I was doing what I was doing. He's like, now put your back like this, your shoulders, your hips, your legs like this, bend this far, hold this. He's like, don't want you to destroy the ball, just hit it 70%. And I'm like, all right, 70%. He's like, oh, all right, you're lined up. Remember, 70%. I'm like, I've got this. And he's like, go for it. And I just go, phew. And I'm telling you, this first ball that I hit after listening to Gary was just like, perfect. And I'm like, all right, Gary. And so get another ball out. He's like, just remember, legs like this, arms like that, shoulders down, 70%. I'm like, 70%. Just go, second one. And so I'm starting to be like, all right. You know, golfers make money. I am just like dollar signs rolling through my head. I could go pro. There's a future for me in this. I am good. So I get on the phone to my boys and I'm like, guys, let's play golf on the weekend. And so I finish my lesson, go out with my mates on the weekend, and we go to play golf. And I line up that first shot, that first tee shot, and I'm like, all right, feet like this, shoulders like that, arms like this, 70%. Pew, right this way. I'm like, are you kidding me? Next tee, pew, this way. I kid you not, no matter what I did, I couldn't get it right. It was like when Gary was there, I couldn't get anything wrong. Everything worked. It just seemed to be great. I was going places, doing things. Everything was in my favor. But when he wasn't there, it's like I couldn't remember how to do what I had experienced before. I couldn't remember how to hit like he had taught me to hit. It just wouldn't work when he wasn't there. Has anyone ever, after, you know, an amazing Friday night at youth or a Sunday when you've just been in the presence of God, found yourself the very next week doing something dumb, struggling to feel God's presence, feeling like, you know, you just, whatever I had, I just don't seem to have it anymore. And you get frustrated by this idea that what you experience doesn't seem to be present with you in the moment. Do you know, even Jesus' disciples experienced this. There's a story in Mark chapter 9, and it's the story of this guy who has a son, and his son has got like an issue where he's been oppressed by the devil, and he comes and he's like, man, guys, you got to help me out. I've heard that you guys, you know, can cast out demons and set people free. Can you just help my son? And so the disciples are like, yeah, we've done this before. And so they're trying everything they've done with Jesus. They're praying, they're saying this, they're saying that, but nothing seemed to be working until Jesus sees the commotion, comes down and he's like, yo, what's going on? And the father's like, man, I brought my son and your disciples can't do anything to help him. What's going on? And Jesus is like, bring the boy to me, sets his kid free, kid goes free, dad's happy. And these disciples are like, you know, when you're not with us, Jesus, it's like it's just not working. It's just like the power isn't there. It's just like the energy and the life that you bring and the miracles that happen in your presence. It's just when you're not there, it's not really happening. You know, I think when Jesus said to them, it's for your good that I am going away, I think it actually really would have confused the disciples. What could be good about Jesus going away? How can it be for our benefit that you are no longer present? When wherever you are, there is life. Jesus, what on earth could be better than you being with us? And do you know what? The only thing better than God being with us is this, God living in us. And I want to read the rest of this scripture because what Jesus actually says is, he says, it's for your good that I go away. Unless I go away, goes on to say, the advocate will not come to you, but if I go, I will send him to you. So Jesus is saying, I have got the Holy Spirit that is about to come to you. And it's going to be for your benefit that I am God and gone in bodily form, and that the Spirit comes in the Spirit, because when He comes, He has got a purpose on this earth that is going to continue with you. And if you jump down to verse 12 of John 16, it says this. It says, I have much more to say to you. This is Jesus speaking. More than you can now bear. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all the truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. He will glorify me, because it's from me that he will receive what he will make known to you. Do you know, even better than Jesus himself being here and preaching at camp is the Holy Spirit right now living in your heart. The Holy Spirit, when you leave this room, going with you into your cabin. When you go home, the Holy Spirit going with you into your cabin. Do you know, if Jesus remained ministering in bodily form, what would have been amazing is that we all could have gone and heard him speak. But do you know what we couldn't have done? We couldn't have spent personal time with him this morning, like many of you did around the lake over there. He wouldn't have been able to talk to you at the same time he's talking to me. He was in one place at one time, and he accepted the life that it was to be a man. And when he ministered in power, he did it as a man who was under the power of God, who was God on earth, right? But he was in one place at one time. He still slept. He still had to eat. You know, if Jesus was still ministering in bodily form, there would be sold out stadiums, but there would be very few opportunities for you to have a heart to heart with him about something that happened today. It'd be hard for him to lead you and tell you what needs to happen tomorrow. It'd be hard for us to hear from God in every single circumstance in our life. And so what Jesus does is he says, hey, you guys think it's good for me to be here, and it is. But greater than me staying here and just continuing to minister in one place at one time and doing the miracles that I'm called to do, greater than that is me actually sending God the Holy Spirit to not just be present in one place at one time, but to be everywhere at the same time. In every heart, for the people who believe, I am present to lead, walk, and be with you. And you know, Jesus himself said in John 14, verse 12, he said, you know, the things that I have done, and even greater things than these you will do. You know, when God is in you and not just with you, all of a sudden, wherever you go, God goes. Wherever you find yourself, God's presence is. And what he wants us to recognize is that at the end of the day, his heart is that all of us who have come to put our faith in him would walk in his power. Do you know, in Acts chapter 1, Jesus promises the disciples the Holy Spirit. In verse 4 and 5, it says this, on one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command, don't leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised. Which of you have heard me speak about? For John baptized with water, but in a few days you'll be baptized with the Holy Spirit. You jump down to verse 8, it says this, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Do you know, when we read through the book of Acts, what you discover is that when the Holy Spirit that Jesus promised did fall in Acts chapter 2, power broke out in the lives of the disciples. All of a sudden, they were no longer operating in their own gifts and talents, in their own skills, in their own strength, but they were now seeing the miracles that Jesus was doing when he was walking with them happening in their own life. You know, you read Acts chapter 2, and basically they're waiting as Jesus told them to, and they're praying, and they're asking and expecting God to move. And then when the Holy Spirit comes and it rests upon them and they are filled with the Spirit, they start praying in tongues, they start speaking out, and then they go and start ministering in power. Do you know, that very day, the same Peter that only a little while earlier had been denying Jesus is filled with the Spirit and preaches, and the Bible says 3,000 people give their hearts to God. All of a sudden, Peter was moving in a new level of authority. It got to this point that even in Acts chapter 5, the disciples would walk through places, and the Bible says people would come, and they would literally like wait so that just their shadow might touch them. Because when the disciples were walking around, so was the power that they had, that when their shadow touched somebody, people were being healed. God was breaking out through the disciples to do the miracles that he has planned in advance to do. Everything changed when the disciples had this experience of the Holy Spirit. A bunch of ordinary people who knew Jesus all of a sudden had the power of God moving through them. And you know, I honestly believe that God wants to bring power into your life. That you are not meant to just live a natural life. That there is a supernatural aspect to the life God has called you to live. Where when you walk with God, He opens doors that no man can open. And He does things that no man can do. And He does what He does in your life. And it goes beyond what is possible in your own strength. And one day you are able to testify to the fact that what I have seen in my life is not through hard work. It's not just through my own skills or talent. It is because God was with me. He wants there to be power in your life. God wants to move through you to bring power to this world. But the thing is, you got to realize is the power is a move of the Holy Spirit. The power isn't just trying hard, being a good person, trying to keep up with the person next to you. It is actually the Holy Spirit moving through you to do what only God can do. Do you know the Holy Spirit, the Bible says, will make its make His dwelling in us. Will make His dwelling in us. John 14, verse 16 to 17 says this, "And I will ask the Father, and He will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept Him because it neither sees Him nor knows Him, but you know Him, for He lives with you and will be in you." In you. Do you know you have God in you? If you're a believer, God has made His residence in your heart. Think about this for a second. We forget sometimes how profound this is. God, who created the heavens and the earth. God, who put the stars in their place. God, who ordered all creation. That same God has made His home in your heart. And He wants to be with you, walk with you, speak to you, lead you in this life. Do you know, when you have God inside of you, there is no part of your life that won't be affected. Your spiritual life, you know, is affected because your spirit comes alive. The presence of the Holy Spirit in us breathes life, and we communicate with the Spirit. We actually led by the Spirit. We connect with the Holy Spirit. Our spiritual life is transformed. The sense of calling that we have, all of a sudden, you know, we're not just doing what we can do in our own strength, but we are walking in the power and the provision of God, seeing miracles and seeing God do things that are impossible to be done, but they are happening because of God with us. We see the presence of the Holy Spirit affecting our relationships. All of a sudden, the Holy Spirit starts to do a deep work inside of you. He starts to transform you from the inside out. And all of a sudden, you start to become the man or the woman that God has called you to be. And all of a sudden, the relationships around you are no longer where you start to search for validation, where you start to take to try and satisfy a need, where you're trying to get from another person. All of a sudden, because you are whole and because God is doing a work through the Spirit, all of a sudden, instead of taking from people, you're giving to people. Instead of trying to get someone to validate you, you are actually fully validated in God, and what you have to offer them is something completely different. Your relationships start to be affected because the Holy Spirit is in your life. Your friendships start to change because the Holy Spirit's in your life. God will use you to strengthen your friend. The Bible says that like iron sharpens iron, so a friend sharpens a friend. And all of a sudden, you don't just have friendships that are based on average and basic things, but you have a person beside you who is there to champion you and to call you into greater things and to challenge you to rise. And together, you as a friendship group, maybe as a life group, start to encourage each other, and you're bigger because of it. The Holy Spirit starts to affect that in your life. Everything, the practical side of your life, your finances, the Holy Spirit in your life will have an effect on every part of your life. You know, the only thing better than having God around you is having God in you. You know, sometimes I think we love camp because we're surrounded by an atmosphere of faith, by people who are on fire for God, by preachers who share God's word, and you're like, I can understand it and it makes sense. I'm on fire. Or, you know, because you're in an environment where you're surrounded by people who believe in God. And then sometimes when we go home and we're in a family and our family doesn't know the experience we've had, or our family doesn't even believe in God, or our school year turns around and all of a sudden we're back amongst old friends, and we feel like maybe I'm just going to get sucked back into the old way of living and camp will become a distant memory. Well, this is where the Holy Spirit is so important, because it's not just about having God around you. You know, there's a lot of stuff happening at camp that doesn't happen in your normal week to week, and it's all happening around you. But the thing that is happening this camp that goes with you is the Holy Spirit inside of you. And when you go home, guess what? The Holy Spirit goes with you. When you're in your family, guess what? The Holy Spirit is with you in your family. When you go back to school, you are not going back the same because the Holy Spirit is with you. And wherever He is, the power of God is at work. You know, the greatest benefit of being a Christian is the Holy Spirit in your life. You know, we're reconciled to our God and He gives us this gift of the Holy Spirit. God all of a sudden is no longer distant, but He's present, always able to walk with us. And this is what it means to live life with God. Do you know every single day you can wake up and God can speak to you? Every single day you can reach out to God and He can lead you. Every single day when you're going through something difficult, you can bring it to God and He is present to walk you through it. God is with you. You know, the Holy Spirit is God. The Holy Spirit is God and He's made His home in your heart. I might get, maybe James Reardon, can you help me out for a quick sec? Can you grab, there's a cup, a bowl, and a little jug there. You know, when you're saved, the Bible talks about being reconciled to God. Thanks, bro. You know, the Bible says that when we come to faith, can you actually just come up here and hold it? I'll take the jug. Thanks, bro. How good's this guy? Legend. Give it up for James. You know, the Bible says, I want to read this scripture, Ephesians 1 verse 13. It says, when you believed, you were marked in Him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit. Just hold the cup over the bowl for me. When you give your life to God, He pours His Spirit into you. And so by believing in Jesus, and like many of you did on that first night, opening up your heart to Him, all of a sudden the Holy Spirit makes His residence in your life. And the power of God starts to do a work in your heart, in your life, in your inner person in a way that no one else can. Some of you have already started to experience the healing power of the presence of God, the freedom that comes with the presence of God, the way that He recalibrates your thinking and transforms your mind. There is a transformation that takes place when the Spirit makes His dwelling in our life. But you know what's amazing about the Holy Spirit? Is while the Holy Spirit is transforming you, He also wants to work through you into the world around you. The Bible says that we have been reconciled, you know, to God. And then it goes on to say that He has given us the ministry of reconciliation. So there is an internal transformative aspect to the Holy Spirit. But there is also a missional aspect to the Holy Spirit. He said, you guys wait. Because the Spirit is going to come and it's going to make His home in your life. And when the Spirit comes, you will be given power. And what is that power for? To be My witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. They were commissioned to do the work of God in the world around them. And what happens with the Holy Spirit is the same Spirit that lives inside of you and has transformed you, all of a sudden, as God continues to pour the Spirit over you, it begins to overflow from your life and starts to affect the lives of the people around you. And as He continues to pour His manifest presence out in your life, this overflow of the Holy Spirit begins to do the work of God in the world around us. And it's the miracle of partnering with God in the purposes of God. Give it up for James. You might need to come back for this. We'll just leave it. You can just put that away. Do you know, I honestly believe tonight God has done that work where He's living in your heart. But I actually believe God wants to fill you with the power of God for the purposes of God. I want to read a scripture. In 1 Corinthians 12, we're going to start at verse 7, but these whole few chapters, 1 Corinthians 12, 13, 14, are all about the gifts of the Spirit and all about the way that God gives gifts to those who believe for the purposes of His kingdom. How He pours out His Spirit in every single person so that we can all be actively used by God to do things that God has called us to do, to see miracles take place, to see breakthrough in the world around us. And I want to read this particular part here, 1 Corinthians 12, verse 7 to 11. It says this, it says, now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. So I want you to understand, you are one of the one. It says here, to each one. There is no one who has opened up their heart to Jesus and received Him by faith that this is not for. That each one of us God gives the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. To one, there's given through the Spirit a message of wisdom. To another, the message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by that one Spirit. To another, miraculous powers. Isn't this amazing? These are the things that God pours out in the hearts of His people so that we can see God's kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. It goes on to say, to another, prophecy, and to another, distinguishing between spirits, to another, speaking in different kinds of tongues, and still to another, interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and He distributes them to each just as He determines. Do you know, this manifestation of the Spirit is missional in nature. It's actually about God reaching the world that He has placed you in. God working through you to change the world that you're a part of. And I honestly believe that tonight, what God wants to do is pour out His Spirit in a brand new way in some of your lives, in a way that you've never experienced, so that when you walk from here, you don't walk in your own strength, you walk in the power of God. When you go back into your homes, you don't just go back in having had a great experience, you go back in with an overflowing, manifest Spirit of God pour out where it impacts and influences the people around you. Do you know, for me, when I got saved, I had not been exposed to any kind of, teaching around the Spirit and, what it means to walk and be empowered by the Spirit. And for me, this has been one of the things that has transformed me more than anything else I can think of. When I discovered that God doesn't just want to be around me, but wants to live in me. And when He's in me, He doesn't just transform me, but He works through me, through this power to impact the world around me. You know, one of the things that I first experienced, and some of you guys might have experienced it as you've come along to youth or you've come along to church, is people praying in tongues. Now, I don't know if you remember the first time you ever heard someone praying in tongues, but, it's not something you can understand. It's not something you can make sense of. And, I remember I walked into our church as a 13-year-old, gave my life to Jesus, and I hear people praying in this heavenly prayer language, but I thought it was just some language that they must have done a course to learn. I thought it was like Hebrew or something. And so I just was like, cool, that's amazing. But about 6 weeks after I made my decision to follow Jesus, something happened where I realized that this was more than just a learned language. And it was my dad. You see, my mom and dad had been radically saved one Sunday morning when they and my younger brother walked into our church. And they had opened up their hearts to God and He had done a number in their heart. And my dad, I knew, had not been going to any language classes. But my dad, who is so passionately saved now, would get my family together and pray for my older brother, the only one in our house who hadn't made a decision to follow Jesus. And he says, we're going to pray for Tom. And so he would get our family together and he would get us to pray. And I remember my dad started praying in this language. And I'm sitting there in this room and I am like, I know my dad hasn't done a course. I know my dad hasn't learned this. But as he is praying, what he is saying has some kind of substance. It has some kind of, there is power in his words. And as he is praying in tongues, I am being absolutely blown away by the fact that there is something that my dad has that he didn't used to have that has brought power into his life. And you know what's amazing is I go up to my life group leader and I remember asking my life group leader, what is that? What's that language everyone speaks? And he says, it's called speaking in tongues. And he literally is like, would you like to speak in tongues? And I didn't know anything about this gift and the way that God would use it in my life. And I said, you know what? Tell me about it. And he goes, well, basically it's a gift that God gives to believers so that they can communicate with God, be strengthened by God and walk in the purposes of God. And it's available for anyone who wants it. Do you want it? I was like, okay, why not? And right then and there, he says, well, we're going to pray for you to receive this gift. And it's going to be a gift that God works powerfully through in your life. And right then and there in my life group, in the living room of a mate's house, my friends got around me and started to pray out loud in tongues. And I started to pray in tongues as well. And from that day to this, I got to be honest, it's been one of those gifts that has absolutely revolutionized my life. 1 Corinthians 14 verse 2 says this, for anyone who speaks in a tongue does not speak to people, but to God. Indeed, no one understands them, they that utter mysteries by the Spirit. And I actually believe that tonight we're just going to create some space. And this is a gift that, like God gave me, I believe He can give you. And the same way that it has changed my life and become something that has really helped me walk through every single season, I believe it can be something that walks with you through every single season. And for some of you, you already speak in tongues. You've already walked in this gift of praying in the Spirit. And you know how powerful it is. And maybe for you, you haven't been exercising that. I want to encourage you tonight, be reminded of the great gift that God has given you in this prayer language. And walk in it, because it will strengthen you and it will help you achieve all that God has got for you to achieve. And for others who tonight are like, I don't know much about it, but I'm open to whatever God has for me, I honestly believe that He is going to do what only He can do. So what I might do right now is I might just get the keys to come up. I just want to share a few things before we pray. Do you know, firstly, I want you to understand that moving in the power of the Holy Spirit's for all believers. Mark 16 verse 17 says, and these signs will accompany those who believe. In my name, they will drive out demons and they will speak in new tongues. You know, we're filled with the Holy Spirit. But when we start praying in tongues, we start walking in this manifest gift, this manifest pouring out of the Spirit in our life. And the power of God is at work within us. And the power of God that has been transforming us now begins to work through us into the world around us. You know, Ephesians 2 verse 10 says this, for we are God's handiwork created in Christ Jesus. It goes on to say to do good works which God prepared in advance for us to do. Do you know your future in God cannot be achieved apart from God? God has got a plan and a purpose for your life. But the way that you experience His plan and purpose is to walk with Him. And this is why He gives us His Spirit. Because we can't get to where God wants us to go alone. We're not doing the journey for God. He has graced us with His presence. And He says, I want you to do the journey with me. And do you know what? I remember about 6 months after my dad and my mom and my younger brother and myself had all given our lives to God. My dad was so passionate about praying for my older brother and would get us together and pray and pray and pray. And when we didn't know what to pray, Dad would pray in tongues. And I remember he would just go for it. Do you know, about 6 months later, my older brother came to church. My dad's rule was, if you're living in my house, you got to come to church on Sundays, right? So my brother would come, sit there, arms folded, and would never sort of respond to the altar call. But I remember this one night, this preacher gets up and he was really intense. You know how the other night I'm like, hey, close your eyes. If that's you, raise your hand. We're going to pray. This guy's like, listen, if you can't stand up for God inside the church, how are you going to stand up for God outside the church? He's like, I don't want anyone to close their eyes. I don't want anyone to bow their heads. If you need to give your life to Jesus, I want you to stand up in front of everyone where you are right now, right? And of course, everyone's like, okay, right? That's intense. But would you believe it? The only person that night to stand up was my older brother. And he made this decision to give his life to God. And I saw a miracle take place in his life. And all these years later, he actually is an elder in a church and is an amazing man of God who's walked with God for like 25 years now, all because he had that encounter. And you know, I've watched time and time again, even in my own life, this gift of prayer and praying in tongues bless my life. You know, Paul, the Apostle Paul says in 1 Corinthians 14, verse 18, I thank God that I speak in tongues more than all of you. Now, I suppose what I'm trying to do with some of these scriptures is to help you understand, even if it's not something that you have experienced a lot of in your life, when we read through scripture, it is common and it is regular that we see people talking and speaking in tongues and connecting with God in this way, not just that first outpouring. But literally the disciples through the book of Acts would go and visit a group of believers and, you know, they would be praying and then all of a sudden, bang, the Holy Spirit would fall and people would begin speaking in tongues. They would lay hands on people and people would begin speaking in tongues. It's a gift that is actually supernatural and it's something that God wants you to have. And you know, like Paul, who God had a purpose for his life to plant a stack of churches and to teach the world about Jesus, God has a plan for your life. And if Paul is saying that this is something that I do more than anyone else, it is such an important part of my life, then I dare say that for you, this is something that can change your life as well. The power of God that's at work within us begins to work through us. So what we're going to do right now is I'm just going to create some space. We're going to let God do what He wants to do. So why don't we do as we have in the other nights? Why don't we stand up? Why don't we start to push our chairs to the side? Why don't we start to prepare our hearts for whatever it is that God has for us. If you're in the band, I'd love you guys just to come up and help lead us in a bit of worship as we come into this back end of our session. And once you put your seat down, you can just make your way back into the center of the room. We're going to welcome the Holy Spirit to do what only He can do. You know, I believe tonight God's going to pour out His manifest Spirit onto people. People are going to begin to get prophecies. People are going to begin to hear God's voice. People are going to pray and there's going to be healing. In fact, tonight, if you have a need and you need healing, come on, let's believe that God can actually heal us. You know, if Jesus can calm the wind and the waves and creation obeys Him, then God can heal your body. God can do miracles. And there is an entire aspect to our faith which is supernatural. It's beyond our own understanding. It is the work of God, and that's what makes it so powerful. If all we do is have a religion, rules that we live by, that we have made up, then we are so missing out on what God has for us. There is a whole side to our faith which includes the power of God that He is desperate for you to experience. Just out of curiosity, can I just have a quick show of hands? If you have spoken in tongues or you pray in tongues, can you give us a quick wave in this room? If that's an experience that you have had, amazing, amazing. And I want to encourage you tonight as we pray and as people take a step of faith, if you already pray in tongues, come on, let's just build an atmosphere where people can really go for it and take this step. And I want to encourage you to be praying for people and to be laying your hands on those that are asking for this gift. And let's just believe that God's going to move. But I'll never forget, let me explain some of the ways that this gift has blessed my life. You know, from that young age when my life group leader prayed for me and I began to pray in this prayer language, and I'll talk to you a little bit about the way that he walked me through that process. I'm going to pray for some people tonight that are ready for this. From that day, it's been one of those things that have helped me so much, because I don't know about you, but so often when I come to God, I don't know what to say. I don't know what it is I'm meant to be praying for, and I tried making a list, I tried writing names, and it got, to be honest, really mechanical. It got to this point where I'd make my way through my list. God, I pray for them. I pray for them. I pray for this. I pray for that. And then I'd get to the end of it and it would be like, cool, I think I'm done with my prayers. And it was lacking this power, lacking this intimacy. But I love this verse in Romans chapter 8, verse 26 to 27. It says, in the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We don't know what we ought to pray for. And I'm like, amen, I have been there before. If you don't know what to pray for, if there's been times when you're like, I'd like to be one of those people that pray, but how on earth does someone pray for an hour, 5 minutes in, I'm done. This Bible verse teaches us that even when we don't know what we ought to pray for, the Spirit Himself intercedes through wordless groans, intercedes for us through wordless groans. And He who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God. Do you know this gift of speaking in tongues? It gives us power to witness. You know, if you've got a burden, even from this morning, for your school, I'm telling you, God is calling you to pray for your school. But pray in tongues. And what it does is it actually communicates between you and God, and it activates the power to witness. It communicates directly with God. 1 Corinthians 2, strengthens the Spirit within me. Romans 8, 1 Corinthians 14. And tonight I want to pray for anyone who is like, God, I need your help in my life so I can experience all you've had for me. Do you know, when God calls you to take a great faith step, it doesn't come without weight. You know, there's one particular story I'll just share is when God told me a number of years ago to take a massive faith step. And God told me to put something on, and it was going to be this massive, you know, gathering of people from across Australia, New Zealand, and, you know, it was all about seeing God just, you know, do something powerful. And I remember feeling in my heart this excitement, this faith for this gathering to come to pass. And I went to my senior pastor and I said, you know, Pastor Brad, I feel like that God is prompting me to put something on that's going to bless not just our church, but churches from all over. And he's like, man, I feel like this is God. I think we should do it. Let's pray. Let's seek God. And if it's God, let's go for it. And I'll never forget, because it was one of those steps where I'm like, I literally don't know how to do it, but I feel God's calling me to do it. You know, I talked this morning about that fear factor and that stepping up. And it was one of those moments for me, and I'm not talking like when I was a kid, I'm talking like, you know, it's probably 5-6 years ago, God called me to a massive step of faith. And what happened is we made the decision that, you know what, we both felt, me and my pastor, that God was in this, and we went for it. And so we went public. You know, next year, this thing's happening. You know, and I just remember the moment that it went public, I'm like, oh my gosh, we got to pull this off now. The stress and the pressure hit me. And I remember getting really organized, thinking if I can organize myself enough, if I can have enough people doing jobs, you know, we're going to make it work. But no matter what, no matter how much many phone calls I made, no matter how much organization I did, the weight of this thing just weighed me down. And so what I started to do is I started to go on these prayer walks. And I remember when I first started, I'm like, all right, I'm just going to pray for this thing that God's called me to do and just ask for him to help me. And I would walk in feeling stressed and nervous, and I'd go on this prayer walk and I'm like, I'll just pray in tongues for a couple of minutes just to get warmed up, and then I'm going to start praying through the list that I have. And what was so amazing is that as I started praying in tongues, I just felt like I just couldn't stop. And I just had to keep praying and keep praying and keep praying. And so that first prayer walk I did, I walked for like a couple of hours and I said nothing in English. I literally prayed in the Spirit the entire time, and something amazing happened inside my spirit where I went in fear, worried, anxious. The weight of all of this was weighing me down. And as I started to pray in tongues, I started to feel like I was getting heaven's perspective. I started to feel like I was getting faith again. I was starting to believe the why behind the what and not just thinking about the what. And I found that at the end of this prayer meeting, all of a sudden my shoulders were back, my head was high, and I was full of faith again. You know what? God's going to move. This is God's plan, not mine. God's on the throne. He's making it happen. And I found this courage come into my spirit. And then, of course, you know, the weight and the pressure of getting stuck into it would come back. And I discovered that over the course of this time, the only thing that could shift that feeling was praying in tongues. And it was like my spirit was saying, I need to communicate and to receive from God. Get out of your head. Stop trying to do this in the way that you think it needs to be done. And every time I'd pray, sometimes it'd be 10 minutes, sometimes it'd be half an hour, sometimes it'd be 2 hours, but I'd pray in tongues, pray in tongues, pray in tongues, pray in tongues, until after praying in tongues, all of a sudden something would shift in the spirit. And I discovered, even in this example, and it's one of many, that this gift was a gift that God gave me to help me fulfill the purposes of God. And we went on to do what God called us to do, and it had an amazing impact in so many people's lives. And I remember thinking, God, this happened not because of a good organization or great leadership, but because of your Spirit leading me day by day and helping me to achieve what it is you've called for me to achieve. You know, speaking in tongues is an evidence of the Holy Spirit being poured out in our life. And tonight, it's actually really simple to experience this great gift. If you've never prayed in tongues, tonight you can begin to walk in this gift from God. You know, it's as simple as asking God for this gift, believing that he has given it to you, and then receiving it. And you know, all throughout the book of Acts, the believers prayed for anyone who followed Jesus, and they were filled with the Spirit. They began speaking in tongues, and throughout history, you know, this has continued. God has poured out his Spirit in this way to strengthen his people. And the way we ask God is we pray. And in a few moments, what I'm going to do is I'm going to lead anyone who wants to receive this gift in a simple prayer. And then after we ask and pray, we believe. And I want to encourage you that this is a gift from God that he wants to give you. And we believe that it is ours because God wants to give it to us. And as we believe in our own heart, the next step is to receive.